Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Rated G Radio. It is Monday night, and tonight we are fortunate to have artist Stephen Davis join the show, and he's going to be coming on the line in just a couple of minutes. But I wanted to give some shout-outs to some people just for being awesome folks, just plain and simple for that. Over the weekend, both on Friday and Saturday night, I don't know what came over me, but both nights I left the house, and I went to go see live music on both Friday and Saturday nights. At different venues, once in Costa Mesa and one in Long Beach, I went to go see Kelly Fitzgerald play. And she's, again, just a brilliant vocalist, singer, songwriter, and is one of the most talented people that I've ever had the pleasure to meet in person and actually can call a friend. Just giving a shout-out to her tonight because her and her man, John, came over to the house with their little dog, Babita, which I think Babita is about 3.5 pounds or maybe 3 pounds of a teacup chihuahua puppy. I think the dog might even be a year old, so if a dog is past puppy stage, she's past puppy stage. But she plays brilliantly with the dogs here at the house. So they came over for a little bit right before the show tonight, and I said, I'll give you guys a shout-out, and wanted to just acknowledge them. Also, the power of Facebook has a fantastic opportunity to help people across all kinds of borders and boundaries and limitations. And one of the things that I've been working on, as everybody knows, is the new album. New album will probably be hitting the streets in April-ish. I think I need to have it done before then so it's ready for summer. But on one of the songs, I need to have a costume made. And it's very specific. It has to have a certain look, and it's for a certain it's for the cover, actually, and it's also for one of the music videos. And I don't know anything about sewing. I mean, when my mom had her sewing machine and I took sewing in the seventh grade in home economics, I made a mean apron that she begrudgingly wore for about a minute and a half. But past that, I really just haven't had any inkling of ability to make anything that looks halfway decent. And for this, I need to look halfway decent. So I put a little post out on Facebook earlier today. I want to thank everybody from Tom in Arizona. I don't know what the deal is with Arizona people today, but thank you very much because I heard from so many of you about, hey, I've got a friend who does costuming. But tonight, a special shout-out to Gail Carline. She has been a guest on the show, but she's also been one of my fantastic Facebook friends who is just really fun. Bantering back and forth on posts, and I like it when I can interact with friends on Facebook, and I don't want to say be inappropriate, but you can, you know, sometimes be a smartass and nobody's going to, you know, look at you cross-eyed. Gail is one of those people, and she's a writer. She writes brilliant novels, and she is always a great storyteller when we have her on the show. But she earlier tonight put me in touch with a friend of hers, Dot, who is in the area. I've never met Dot, never knew her name until about an hour ago. And Dot and I have been exchanging notes back and forth about what I want to create. And she's like, yeah, I think I can get this taken care of. So, Gail, from the power of Facebook, I want to thank you for taking your time out of your schedule to think about helping me today. So with that, if you can go out and help somebody today, I always encourage you to do so. But without further ado, let's get to our special guest star tonight, and that is Mr. Stephen Davis. Stephen, where are you calling from tonight?
Hey, Garrett. I am calling from Virginia, from home.
Yay! So how's the weather back in Virginia?
It had been really cold and rainy for the past week, just miserable. And today, beautiful. Up in the 60s, not a cloud in the sky. Perfect day. Perfect
Good.
Day.
Were you out suntanning?
I did nothing. No, I did nothing. I played lazy.
Good. You need days like that every once in a while.
Yeah, I'm getting more of a... every once and in a while, you know, so I'm enjoying it. I really am.
Good for you. It's been a while since we've had a chance to catch up. And for everybody who's listening to the show for the first time tonight, number one, thank you for tuning in. But Stephen was a guest on the show, I'm going to guess, what is it, a year? Probably longer than that. It's been about a year and a half. It's been a
Somewhere
minute.
Somewhere in there. It's been a good while. And it's been a while. I've listened in.
Well, thank you for that. I always love it when people listen. But I had Stephen on the show originally because one of the things that I find fascinating is the amount of talent and abilities that my Facebook friends have, and they are so creative and imaginative and come up with some just really cool things, whether they're writers or singers or musicians, or in this case, Stephen's case, he's an artist. And he posts pictures periodically of his art, and I'm like, this man has got the gift. And Stephen was nice enough to come on the show and talk about stuff. And what should I have show up as a gift? And I can't remember the timeline, whether it was before or after, but you sent me this beautiful seascape that you'd painted, and I think I've actually got the picture of that on the show link tonight. So if you're listening to the show on your computer, it's the one with all the ocean waves. I was absolutely blown away, and every time people come over to the house, and here's a little secret, I rarely have company, but when I have people come over to the house, that's usually the first thing people comment on is, oh my gosh, that picture's so beautiful, and I go, I know, and Stephen Davis painted this just for me. So I want to verbally thank you for that over the air here, but more importantly, let everybody know that what you do, at least you know, from the experience that I've had with you, Stephen, that it's impactful. And so I'm excited that you are coming back to the show tonight to talk about your art and life and all of that kind of stuff. But if we could, I'd just love to be a little chit-chatty with you at the beginning, sure, just so we can kind of catch up. So, okay, so now that's the disclaimer for everybody. So what did you do over the holidays? Did you do anything fun? How did you ring in the new year?
Actually, now the New Year's was very quiet for me, very quiet. And that I purposely do. I'm the type of person that I enjoy company and I enjoy being around people and all, but the loud crowds and stuff like that, after about 20 minutes, I'm like, I'm ready to go home and all. But it was very quick. Yeah, I can't take it too much. You know, at this stage of my life, I'm like, okay, let's keep it down and all. But it was nice. I enjoyed to ring in it with very few intimate friends, and I enjoyed that very much. And the Christmas season, I really enjoyed. I had both my kids with me, and that was rare to get them together like that. And
how old are your kids now?
My daughter is 23, and my son is 27.
Wow! So what are they doing in life?
My son works at what's known as the Magic Store, and It's hard to explain. He tells me all the time, and I still don't get it. There's some card thing out there, whatever, magic cards or whatever, and he works for the only distribution center in the United States. And
wow.
It amazes me how they do. He travels and does tournaments and all this, and it just freaks me out, you know. I remember this kid when he was like, you know, Pokemon was a big thing, and he was collecting those cards. I had no idea it was something he was going to try to be reaching out for. And the daughter is presently, she works as human resources for a local law firm, but she is also finishing up on her master's degree. And she wants to get into news, radio, and theater. And
she works in HR and law. That has to be the polar opposite of anything fun. And if you're in law and HR and love it, God bless you. But boy, I'm telling you.
Yeah, let me tell you, it is. I don't know who's listening, so I won't say she's not happy. But at the same time, it's a job. She enjoys it, and they think a great deal of her and all. But she has that internal burn, and she's planning on moving away, and that kind of tugs at Dad's heartstrings. I want to keep my kids close, but they're going to grow up, Garrett. You know, they're going to leave. They're going to do their own thing, and also, we'll see. You may see her on the red carpet one day. Who knows?
I would love to see her on the red carpet, and I'd love to interview her sometime too. So that would be fun. Well, okay. So now that we've kind of got cut up a little bit, and that's really cool. I didn't know that about your kids. So let's talk about your painting. And for people again who didn't hear your story before, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to decide that this is going to be the career for you.
Well, I have always painted. Not really painted. I've always been a doodler. You know, I used to get in trouble in school all the time. The teacher would come up behind the back, and, you know, one teacher would constantly come up, and I'd get hit on the back of the head with a ruler back when they could do that, and tell me to stop drawing all the Mickey Mouses and all that other stuff. It was always just, it was cathartic. It was just, you know, a way of releasing energy and therapy and just relaxing. And I got to where I couldn't even, you know, afford the paper and all this other stuff. So I was taking dresser drawers out and turning them upside down and drawing on the bottom of dresser drawers.
Wow.
And whatever I could get my hands on, I was doing that. And then I started, once I was in high school, and you actually have art classes, you know, back then. And, you know, we had private shows, and, you know, I was getting a little more recognition, and I was like, hey, maybe I'm better than I thought I was. And, but not until probably 7-8 years ago did I actually show my art. I was very internal with it. I didn't want to really share it out too much. I was hypercritical. There's no one that's more critical of their art than yourself. You know, and
so why do you think that was?
I don't think, you know, I don't think that people are ever really happy, you know, with a project they finish or whatever. You can always step, go, oh, I got it done. I'm glad I got it done. But you're always going to look at it, and you're always going to kind of keep critiquing. And I didn't until a few years ago actually allow any of my art to be hung in my home. I couldn't do that. I couldn't leave it hanging to where as I'd walk by and look, because I kept taking it down off the walls and saying, I got to fix this, I got to fix that. And, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it's like there are very few pieces that I actually have close to my heart. You know, you were speaking of the one of the ocean waves that you have. That was a particular one that, by the grace of God, you know, when I finished it, I actually stood back and I go, good gravy, I did that? You know, it amazed me.
You did a great job. Oh, my God. I can't even begin to thank you enough.
Well, no, thank you. But it's funny, people look at that, you know, you look at that, and you will say to yourself constantly, you'll say, you know, it's a great oil painting. There's no oil in it. Every bit of that is watercolor. You know?
Really?
And nobody believes that my work is watercolor.
So, okay, you have to explain. How do you do this? Because it has like a layering. It has a 3D
exactly.
dimension to it.
Right. And it all has to do with the consistency of the medium that you're using. You know, there's first a layer of a gesso. I put a very thick layer of gesso on the canvas so that it'll adhere better. Gesso is like it's almost like an acrylic base, so that it will adhere to the canvas better.
Okay.
Otherwise, if you don't, when you go to paint on the canvas, it soaks it up and your colors just get very dead. But once I start using the watercolor, I honestly don't use water. I keep it very thick, and I'll use a little bit of some turpentine here and there to keep the mixture going and all, but I don't dilute, and so I keep it very thick. And that's why you get those little edges and the 3D effects and all. But, you know, I have to forewarn people when they buy my art. I'm always like, you know, okay, if you're going to, I don't really suggest to hang this in your bathroom. I don't suggest, if suddenly you're going to come out and it's going to be all steamy and you're going to realize your painting's on the floor where it's all dripped off. But I seal them before I usually send them, because you'll notice yours has a little glaze to it.
You're right.
And it's, and you know what that glaze is? It's just it's a Revlon hairspray.
I was going to say hairspray, but I thought, no, it can't be hairspray. Okay. Wow.
Yes,
so how did you
hairspray.
Figure out that hairspray was a good sealer?
They taught me that in high school.
Really?
Anything that has lanolin, you know, will seal it up.
Okay,
yeah, so it's,
cool.
It's really great now, but... a lot of people say, you know, I love your oil paintings, and I'm like, I can't paint in oil. If people think, okay, if you paint, then, you know, you can do anything and everything, and that's not true at all. You know, I can't do oils. The ability to make it work.
And Stephen, that is so funny, because on my show thing tonight, I said oil painting artist live. So, and bless your heart, you didn't even correct me. Hey, I've got a question for you. It looks like we've got a caller calling in that wants to ask a question. Would you like to take a call?
Sure.
Okay, cool. And I haven't screened this, so I have no idea who this is. So be nice and don't swear. Okay. So caller in the 559 area, you're live with Stephen. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you, Garrett.
Who do we have the pleasure of saying hi to?
My name is Ron. I'm a good friend of Stephen's.
Hi, Ron.
Hey, is this Ron?
Yes, this is Ron.
Hello, Ron. How are you and Susie tonight?
We are fine. I wanted to catch the show and just give a shout-out to Stephen. We have several of his paintings and have even bought several as gifts, and he is a fantastic artist. And I do have a message for Stephen from Susie.
Oh, gosh.
You need to use more yellow.
That is a running joke with Susie. And Ron has been a friend for many years, and one of the first that I actually allowed to purchase one of my artworks.
Wow.
And Susie is always, a lot of people stay on me because my work is usually dark. I don't do a lot of bright and vivids. And Susie, once everything I do, Susie goes, "You need yellow. You need yellow." You know, I'm just not a bright person when it comes to, you know, I paint by my mood. So obviously, when you look at my paintings, you think, you know, he's never in a good mood. But that's not true. You know, it's just, you know, I paint, you know, you see my moods in them. That's about it. But thank
that's
you,
true.
Ron. It's sweet. And thank
so
you for
Ron,
all your support.
Ron, out
You're
of the pictures that you've purchased from Stephen, what's your favorite, and what can you describe it for us?
It's one of the lighthouse scenes, and we actually commissioned Stephen to do that one.
Really?
And it's a lighthouse, and it's got facing the ocean and a really nice beach scene and a picket fence and everything. Him and Susie were on the phone, I believe, for 2 or 3 weeks discussing what she wanted.
Wow.
And then
did you have a
I got,
particular lighthouse
I got,
that...
Pardon me?
Did you have a particular lighthouse or idea in mind? Or just...
we had an idea in mind, and Stephen put it into a painting.
Wow. That is awesome.
I can't remember if I used an actual model, so to speak, and all, but for some reason I keep thinking there was one in Maine that I had done, that I did that one by. And I cannot recall, but I think that would goes too far back, Ron. Too far back.
Yeah, that's been what?
About
6 years? 6 years ago?
Is it that long? It's been a while.
Yeah.
Right on.
I also have one. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Ron. I was excited for you that you got it so early.
I also have one of his that he totally hated. It's a lighthouse with waves crashing up against it.
I despise that painting.
And I love that painting.
So,
it looks
Ron,
like
why do you love the painting, and Stephen, why do you hate it?
I love it because it's so realistic.
Fair enough.
It reminds you of actual waves crashing up against the rocks towards a lighthouse.
It just didn't do it for me. It looked like I'd done it with my left foot. You know, I wasn't happy at all with it, and I had shown it to Ron, and he and Susie were like, "Oh, I love this," and I actually tried to talk him out of it. You know, I did. I argued with him. You know, it's really sad when you know someone's willing to buy your work, and you're going, "No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't want this." But at least I'm honest about it. You know?
and you. Garrett, you can ask Stephen. I am probably, of all the people that pay attention to his art on Facebook and stuff, I am probably the most honest. If I don't like it, I don't like it, and I'll tell
you. Oh, yeah. He has made comments on Facebook of a piece of art, which I really encourage blatant honesty. You know, I don't want someone just constantly go, "Gee, that's wonderful, I love this, beautiful," and so forth. I mean, those are nice compliments, but it's nice to also get, you know, those little critiques and criticisms. I enjoy those. And Ron will do that, and he actually has many of my Facebook fans jump on him, you know, for being honest. I feel bad for him. I'm like, oh, gosh, you know.
Well, Ron, I'm going to tell you, I appreciate you calling in. I would say hang on to those paintings that you've got here of Stephen's, because I think if they're not worth a lot of money today, they'll be worth a lot of money very shortly. So
oh,
I think it's a good investment.
They're not for sale.
Oh, they're
that
not.
Means
they, there you go.
Pretty soon, you know?
There you go.
Well, you guys,
Ron,
I'm going to get off the phone. I wanted to call and give a shout-out to him, and thank you for taking my call, Garrett.
You betcha, Ron. Thanks for listening in. Hi to your wife, Susie.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye,
Take
guys.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Ron.
Okay, so Stephen, here's a perfect scenario here where you have a client that says, "I love what you're doing," and you're like, "Ugh,
right.
I absolutely hate that." So when let's talk about your inspiration for what you do, because I've scrolled through, I don't know, 100 of your pieces of art that you have on your website. By the way, everybody who's listening tonight, number one, hi, I want to say hi to a couple of people again, Mary Lou Monroe Ray, who's going to be doing a takeover on the show tomorrow night. I'll talk about that later. Hi to Gail, again, for connecting me to Dot. I want to thank you for being a brilliant writer and a great guest as well. But getting back to inspirations for what you do here, Stephen, because you paint everything from people to lighthouses to scenes. Where do you draw your inspiration from?
It's honestly that's kind of hard to answer because the inspiration is not it hits at the moment. It really hits at the moment. I can go for weeks and not want to touch a paintbrush at all, just not have the desire, and I cannot force myself to do it. But there are times, you don't know how many paintings I've done by sitting there listening to the entire score of Les Mis. You know, music is really what motivates me. You know, I am constantly, I can't paint without music in the background, and it's usually things such as Les Mis or, believe it or not, the score of Burlesque, you know, just something.
Oh, I love that.
To
yeah.
motivate me. Yeah, I have to have that in the background. And then, you know, my partner Jay is, he's one of my biggest critics, and he's very honest with me. He's like, you know, okay, this is good and that's good. I don't care for that. This is, you know, and I take it all tongue-in-cheek, but I'm like, okay, all right, and I'll, whatever, and all. But, you know, it's, he inspires me a lot by suggestions or whatever, but most of my art, honestly, is a lot of people will request things. I did a particular piece for a friend of mine, James, I don't know if I'm allowed to say their name, and I'll,
Well, don't give their home phone number, but sure.
Oh, okay. I don't have a home phone right off the bat or whatever. BR5. No.
Yeah, exactly.
There was a piece I did that was just out of the blue. I sat there one day, and it was kind of like you've seen the theater mask of
right.
the happy and the sad. You know, you've seen this. And I took a little bit of inspiration from that, and I did the face. It's not the mask, but more of the face and the eyes and so forth, and it was very odd colors with little drips of blood. It was back when, and you'll get it, but it was kind of back when I was really into the True Blood. You know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So it was a little more macabre. And my aunt was like, you know, I'll never hang anything like that in my house and all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I never got any, you know, and I thought, okay, it was just one of those fun pieces and all. And one day he called up and he goes, I saw this. I love that. I've got to have this. And I was like, you're kidding me, you know, because I really loved it. I really loved it. It was something very, very different. And I'm starting to try to get interested now. I want to go a little more abstract. I really do. I want to go a little more abstract. I'm not sure if my brain's going to work like that because I'm so much into realism, you know. But I'm going to give it a shot. I want to just, you know,
What do you think's drawing you to that new genre of painting then?
I think it's just the growth. I think it's just, you know, it's that stage. You know, you feel like, you know, you haven't necessarily mastered, you know, what you've done before, but you feel like, okay, if you don't move a little bit forward, you're going to stagnate. And I do. Sometimes I feel like I get a little stagnant with the art, and I'm like, okay, I need to kind of branch out. And I have another friend that actually had me do some abstracts for him, and he was doing them in his office, and he loved them. And I was like, really? You know, it's just, I don't know. I see other people's abstracts, and I'm like, I'm amazed, you know, just amazed at the work. And I'm like, it's beautiful. And people would think, you know, when you do an abstract work, you know, how easy can that be? It's probably one of the most difficult styles to do. Very difficult. You know?
I would think it would be very hard to do.
It is. It's extremely hard to do. To make it look cohesive, to make sure the color's right, and make sure that it has a message. You know, that's the tough stuff. My other stuff when I'm doing, you know, the landscapes and I'm doing, you know, all that other, there's always a message to that, and that is, you know, more serenity or calmness or just peacefulness or, you know, kind of put yourself in that place and all. But abstracts, you really have to let the brain think. So I'm excited about trying that. You'll get to see it, you know. And I'm expecting from you to be honest, you can, you know, send me a message and go, Stephen, that really is pathetic.
Obviously, Stephen, that really needs more yellow.
Yeah, I can. No, I'll get enough of that from Susie, so thank you.
Okay, so I won't say, Stephen, that needs more yellow. Yeah, no, I won't do that, too. Hey, it looks like we might have another caller here. Do you want to take another call? You ready? Stephen? Did I lose you?
Yes.
I wonder if we've lost. No, there
yeah.
We go. Stephen, we're going to bring on the next caller again. Haven't screened the call. It's area code 612. 612, you are live with Stephen Davis, the non-oil painting artist.
I know that. Hey, sweetie, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
And
really
who's this?
I'm glad to hear this. This is a great friend of his. My name is Adam.
Hi, Adam. Thanks for calling in tonight.
You bet. I'm really glad to hear that you're going to do some more abstract work. I always, you know, really enjoy it when you decide to. You know that. You know, I always like when you try something different, when you push yourself. It's always when you do something beautiful.
God bless you.
Right?
Bless you. You have several pieces. You have one of my miniatures.
Well, not a miniature.
I thought you'd got one of the miniatures on the little miniature.
No. I have the triptych of the tree, the three seasons of the tree.
Oh, that's right. You do have the three seasons. That's
yeah,
right.
No, you were going to send me a miniature, but you sent me a full size.
Okay. All right.
Somebody
has some homework to take care of.
You can send me a miniature, too, if you want to.
Get out of
So now we're not putting you on the spot, Stephen, but Adam would like a miniature.
Do that too.
Okay.
Apparently, I've got my work cut out for me.
Yeah.
No, he was. Gary, you have to realize he was going to give me a miniature and sent me a full size. So I mean, he's kind of already gone above and beyond.
Above and beyond. Love it.
Yeah.
So what's the style of painting that you got, Adam?
Well, there's two. I mean, like I said, I purchased this one. It's lovely. It's nothing like what you're showing. It's a little bit more, Stephen, you know, the one you have with the carriage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know,
right.
The tree. It's a triptych. It's a tree in three panels, and there's three different seasons of the tree. And you have the tree in the middle with summer, and then you have winter on one side and fall on the other. And it's beautiful, and that's one of the ones that you actually framed.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember
and
that.
And where do you have
actually,
that in your house, Adam?
I actually have it in my office at work because I see things more often at work than I do at home.
Oh, there you go. Okay, cool. And what's your other painting?
The other painting was a landscape, an oceanscape with a lighthouse. I also have that one at work as well. But there are different walls.
Okay, fair enough. Stephen, it sounds like Adam needs a picture for his house, so I'll let you guys talk about that offline. But Adam, you know... Maybe do you have any words of suggestion to anybody who's out there looking to purchase oil paint or not? And I keep saying, Stephen, you're going to have to like stop me here, but purchase fine works of art like what Stephen paints.
Do I have? Oh boy. No, I can give them my number too, since I sell fine art photography. But no,
plug away.
Find something that speaks to you. I'm often amazed at something that I've produced on my own. So, Stephen, you can say whether or not this is true for you, too. That it's kind of like, oh, this isn't my favorite. I don't love it. And somebody else goes, oh, I love it. This means X, Y, and Z to me. This reminds me of this. I feel this emotion when I look at it. And that's what I always tell people. I wasn't getting that emotion. I had a certain kind of emotion when I took this picture. But you really have something much more visceral. And really and truly, when you see something, you know, when it speaks to you, it's speaking to you. It was made for you. And I tell people, don't say, oh, I'm going to think about it and come back later. Get it now. Because
smart advice.
It speaks to you, get it now.
I actually have to give a little thank you, a shout out to Adam for his help several years ago. I think it was probably 4 years ago that I did some work for a friend who did a book of poem, and I did the illustration. And we're in the Library of Congress.
Yes,
get out of town.
Stephen, oh God, that was more years ago than that when we did that book.
Yes, yeah. So
very good.
So that was just, I forgot all about that. Well, I didn't forget about that, but that was
a
very
proud
moment.
Book. Yeah, I still have my copy, one of my copies, sitting right here on the shelf next to me. Yeah,
very good. Hey, Adam, thanks for calling in tonight. I sure appreciate you taking time out of your evening.
This has been a wonderful show. Thanks for having Stephen on.
Thank you so much. And you should send me a link on Facebook. I'd love to see your pictures also, so make sure to send something over to me if you get a chance.
Okay.
Thanks, Adam. Have a good night. Okay. So, Stephen, I have a hard time understanding this, and I know that you can't pigeonhole an artist. That's like saying, I'm only going to write this type of a song, or I'm only going to star in this type of a movie, or I'm only going to do this.
Great.
If people go to your website and take a look at, I'm going to say, I don't know, how many pictures are up there? I don't need an exact count, but you get like 100. You get a ton of different.
It's a ton of yeah.
There's a ton. And you go from things that are abstract, like you say, to nature scenes. And you have things that are either like very cold, like a cold winter scene, or a very, bright, red, vibrant, fall day, or you have different things, but then
right.
You go to something like the Lighthouse collections that you do, and most artists, or at least artists that I think of, when they are getting ready to do something, they are known for a style of subject, like lighthouses, and it'd be like Stephen
right.
Davis, the lighthouse guy, or Stephen Davis, the farm or the barn guy, or Stephen Davis, the,
right.
the clown guy, or whatever. What is it about your inspiration and artistry that compels you to say, I'm going to do all of these different things?
Well, one thing was I didn't want to pigeonhole myself. I didn't want to be like a Kincaid. I didn't want to be someone who was going to be, if they would look at a piece of art and they go, oh, that's a date. And I'll, because I don't think that really shows me as an artist. All that shows is, that one little segment of what I'm like. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to be able to cover the masses, so to speak. I will tell you, I get people who will, constantly say, they'll call up and they'll go, oh, I want you to do a portrait. No, that's the one. I do draw the line there. I can do a pen and ink, do a charcoal. I'll do all that for you as far as portraits concerned, but I won't paint a portrait.
Why is that?
I just don't like it. I just don't feel capture the realness of the individual. If it becomes, I told myself a long time ago with my art, if it becomes a job, I don't want to do it anymore. I need it to, it's like what you do. Now you work very hard and you've got your hands in a lot of cookie cutters. Every single thing that you do, there's a passion about it. I know that from what I see on your posts and all this. There's a passion all together with this. And that's what I want to do. I want to continue with the passion.
I hear you. But just putting it in that frame of reference, that I totally understand what you're saying. For listeners out there, then you can go to Stephen's Facebook. He has got a brand new page. I think he created it today and, just kind of started taking off about an hour before the show. But you can go and take a look at his new Facebook page. But there's also his your website. And we were talking right before the show. It's a little bit under construction. You're doing some, kind of overhaul things to it. But you get a really good idea of the type of paintings that Stephen produces. What's kind of like the range of prices that people should expect when they get ready to buy your art?
That's a hard one to say because it depends on the individual, and and I mean in terms of, gee, I'm going to give you a better price than I give this person or whatever. It really depends on the individual and their circumstances. If it's framed or unframed, usually I will tell you they've ranged anywhere from what I've sold from, you know, $250 unframed on up to as I've actually sold them for, you know, right around $1,000 for a larger framed piece. But, you know, I work with the individuals. I don't do it for a living. You know, that's not what I'm doing it for. There's just a certain, I guess it's narcissistic, but to think that, you know, there's a little piece of you all over the place. I mean, I'm in Australia, I'm in Denmark, I'm in the United Kingdom, I'm in Canada, you know, I'm in over 20 of the states, and that's an incredible feeling, you know, an incredible feeling. There's a little bit of you all over the place like that. And that's really what my goal is, to just to leave a little bit of a mark out there.
I love that. I have a business question for you, and sure. I don't even know how this plays into what you do or the logistics of this at all. But when you create a piece, let's say like the picture that you did for me of the ocean waves.
Right.
You know, you send me the piece, and I've got the piece, and it's framed, and it's nice, and everybody oohs and ahs over it. But do you do anything like and I don't even know the right terms, but like a lithograph or a screen print or anything like that that you can mm-hmm. sell additional copies of? And so people, if they like, they see that, they can order that. And what do those types of things go for?
Well, I will. You know, I will. But it has to be under the conditions. If I sold you a piece of art, okay, to me that now is your personal belongings, you know. If I have opted to make prints of it prior to, I'll make you aware of that. You know, funny people are like, you know, I want an original and a one and only. They don't want that you've got prints
sure.
out there, you know, out there. And also, I do let people know individually, but yeah, I have sold prints. You sell for, you know, for about a 16 by 20. You know, something like that, depending on what they want. I mean, they can range from about 50 to 5. You know, depending also, because you can put it on canvas paper and it looks beautiful. It looks absolutely gorgeous. Thank goodness for my local printers. They do a beautiful job.
From $50 up, they can get a copy, or, you know, I'm just going to call it a copy for layman's terms here, but they can get a copy of your work. And, you know, for some budgets, they may say, you know, I'd love to have a Stephen Davis painting, but, you know, $1,000 might be out of my price range, but, you know, $50 or $100 certainly mm-hmm. paints a different picture, pardon the pun, on being able to have something hang that's beautiful in their home.
Correct. Now, also, you know, I do want to make it clear, you know, that there are individuals out there, you know, that if you're going to pay $75 for a print, I easily, with my clients, for that price, and I'll just, and you cover me, happy with it. I just enjoy doing it, you know.
And, Stephen, I've got your phone breaking up just a tiny little bit, so part of what you're saying is coming through and part of it's not.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I was getting it in my opinion. What I was saying was, you know, rather than go the print route, I'm willing to work within the price range of what people want and what they can afford. Many people have, you know, not been able to afford, but you know, I can still do it for what they want. You know, I can manage to make it work.
Cool.
For an original.
So, what are you going to be working on next? I mean, I know you have the abstract. Because I don't understand abstract at all, so you can talk to me about it all day long until you're blue in the face, and I will still look at you like a puppy dog, like, where's my treat? I will have no clue. How do you find inspiration for going off in that new direction? I applaud you for trying to tackle something new and different to you. I think that's extraordinary as an artist to want to do that.
Well, there are different things, you know, in different ways. Watch certain videos, you know, the new TV show of, what is it, the American Horror Story, whatever, the freak show thing they've got out there.
Right, right.
Has really, yeah, that really has, you know, has me excited. There are just certain things about that show, which is not one of the best seasons, by the way. But anyway, there are certain things about that show that has just opened my mind up to so many different elements of shapes and forms. And, a little darker side, if you will. And then there are some friends of actually said, can you do something to this venue or whatever? Which I have to consider, just into a little darker side there and see what's there. So
and
inspiration
so,
comes.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, and so how long will it take you once you decide, okay, I'm inspired? We realize that the light bulb doesn't really come on like that, but for argument's sake, we'll pretend it does. You go, I'm inspired. How long does it take you to say, okay, I've got the canvas in front of me until you have a finished product?
You're going to laugh at me because if a painting takes me over 2 hours, I'm bored and I'm done.
Really? That's fast.
When I sit down to paint, I am with a 2 hour, I have 2 hour minimum and I'm done. And I won't touch up. I won't go back. People make fun of me. I'm very fast. You've watched the guy on TV, the fuzzy haired artist.
I love that show. Yeah.
Oh, I love watching him. God bless his soul. And how can you paint that quick? And how can you do it in a show like that? You just get going. You make it happen, and I love it.
You do. I am so impressed with that answer because, you talk to a lot of people, especially artists, like you'd said. And it was funny because at the beginning you said, I want to go back and I want to touch that up and I want to do this. And it will sit on their easel for, decades until they finally say, okay, now I'm ready to do it, and then they're dead. And you were like, I've got 2 hours, and if it's going to be longer than that, I can't be bothered. I love that answer.
I really
Stephen.
Don't want to bother with it. Yeah,
That's great.
No,
so,
I get obsessed with it.
As we get ready to kind of wind up our time here together, I know that I got the links on the site here for people who are sitting in front of their computers, so you can just click to do this. But tell us how you'd like people to stay in contact with you or contact you if they have questions about having artwork done.
Well, please, and that's why, with the website being down, ways is through the Facebook, which is listed under Evolution of Color.
Evolution of Color,
And simply by sending messages through there, which you'll find my phone number if they want to send me a text or whatever, that's fine. My email might be a little complicated, but my email is
And, Stephen, your phone line's breaking up, so I'll just encourage people to go to the website or Stephen's Facebook art page there. You can just click on that on the site to get the email so we can do that. Stephen, my friend, it's a pleasure to have you on here tonight. I am just honored and thrilled that you have taken time out of your schedule to share with the world what you're working on now. This is very exciting. If you haven't already liked Stephen's Facebook fan page, because it's brand new as of today, go like it because he's going to be posting other pictures of his art that will be available for purchase. I think this is really, really cool. And, especially for an independent artist, your ability to just do things on your own terms and conditions, I just am in awe of your commitment to do that. So thank you for that. Anything else you want to tell the listeners before I let you go for tonight?
Other than just a major thank you for such an opportunity and for being as supportive as you are to me. This new venue that you're going on, I'm proud of you.
The door is always open to you, Stephen, so thank you very much. Everybody, hang on. This is going to be Joseph Eid. This is a new song that he's got a new music video coming out for called Hit Me Up. We'll be right back. Stephen, hang on the line just a sec.
I would love to spin you round and round on my dance floor. I know how you love to spin your mind before.
With Hit Me Up. He's going to have a new music video out for that, and that's off of his album Human. You'll remember him as a featured Friday night dance party guest not that long ago. So his album is just continuing to sell really well, and it's always a pleasure to have independent artists that are just, you know, kind of changing the face of music. That's what's going to happen this Friday. We've got Mark Cave Jr. He's a Christian singer out of the Deep South, and he's going to be my guest on the Friday night dance party. We're going to play an album with his in hour one and then hour two. Of course, it's always listener requests, so I can't wait to do that. And on Friday, I want to send a special shout out to Angela Downey of Downey's Desserts in Costa Mesa. She is doing great things. She's got another new client, and call it an account, which, you know, we love accounts. Accounts are regular business that keeps the business going. And Ken and Angela Downey of Downey's Desserts have the best Downey's brownies. We call them Downey's brownies, but they are, it's really like, you know, if I can say it on the radio, like sex in a bite of chocolate. It is the best thing that you'll ever taste ever, and it's a bite of chocolate. It's not like, holy cow, I got 14 pounds of a brownie sit here that I have to eat and have it sit in my stomach. It's a bite, and it's just absolutely enough. She's got the most delectable red velvet cupcakes. She's got tea cakes and all kinds of things like that. So if you're interested in having desserts at a party, a function, a wedding, a graduation, office thing or whatever, go to Downey's Desserts, desserts, of course, is with two S's in the middle, and check them out and tell them you heard them here on the radio. Want to also kind of talk about tomorrow's show, which is going to be really, really cool. We have Mary Lou Monroe-Ray. She is live from Brisbane, Australia. She's actually listening in tonight. But she said, I want you to talk to him too. But she on her takeover show for tomorrow, is actually going to be interviewing Mr. David Laws. He's Australia's famous flower man. And if that sounds kooky to you, it should, because he does spellbinding. Maybe I want to try this a third time. Spellbinding. I'm not going to say that three times fast. Spellbinding psychic flower reading parties in Australia, and he is known as the famous flower man. I can't wait to hear David's story, but also have Mary Lou kind of take over the show. That's what she's going to be doing for the Tuesday night show. That is tomorrow. It's live, 10 p.m. East, 7 West, but it's, I think, noon in Brisbane, Australia tomorrow, so that would be really, really cool. Excited for that in a big way. Okay, so let's go back and talk about some of the things that are happening on Facebook as of today. I don't get this at all. So, and it's always odd, you know, it's the things that I think that are just going to be really smart alecky that I put on here get the hugest responses, and things that I think that are really going to be interesting and have people, you know, just really have some inspired thought on, I get nothing. So the two things that were blowing up on my Facebook yesterday, and they're still there, so if you want to chime in, the chiming is open. But I had a post yesterday at 6 o'clock. It says, my first concert was blank. And so, you know, the thing is open for you. So I'm loving all of the answers that people are talking about. I have 70 comments on there so far, ranging anywhere from Supertramp, Tina Turner, Liza Minnelli, Rita Coolidge, sha-na-na. Let's see, we've also got Susie Quattro. You remember her from Happy Days? She played, and that was actually Mary Lou, I'm seeing that's your answer. Susie Quattro, she played Fonzie's girlfriend on Happy Days for, you know, an episode or two. There's Bon Jovi, Peter, Paul, and Mary, Foreigner, Aerosmith, Alice Cooper, Kiss, Huey Lewis in the News. A lot of people's first concert was Huey Lewis in the News, believe it or not. And I'm going, but you're how old? And that was your first concert? My first concert was the Village People. And my caption was, of course, that should have explained quite a bit, but it was the Village People. Macho Man was out. YMCA was out. In the Navy was out. I think In the Navy was like the big song that summer. I'm thinking it was like 78 or 79. It was before I went to middle school. I was in the summer of my sixth grade before I went to middle school, and I took my best friend Kevin Cooch. And my dad went and got the tickets for us, and I'm going to guess the tickets were probably like $25 at the time or something. I'm sure that I thought was an outrageous amount of money, but I had paper route money, so I was fine. I was set. But $25 to go see the Village People, I'll never remember it, forget it. My mom went and got me a special silk shiny shirt and a gray vest. And I don't know why you put gray on a kid with blonde hair, because I've realized now that that just is not a good look, but that's the look that I was going with. And I loved it because my fifth and sixth grade teacher, Mrs. Susan Duncan, taught disco dancing in PE. So we'd go to the gym, and she'd get out the big record player and put on La Freak, you know, by Chic. You had The Car Wash, you had The Village People, you had Donna Summer, you had all these great disco songs. And my best friend Kevin and I, we went to go see The Village People. I took my mom's camera and remember sitting it down, and then somebody, you know, had never been to a concert before, and, you know, we're standing around just like a bunch of, you know, ding-dongs. Somebody comes along and kicks it, and, of course, it's in the Portland Coliseum, and, you know, camera's never to be found again. So, you know, thankfully my mom didn't crucify me for that. But it was a great concert, and it was funny because this is, you know, 78, 79. I didn't know anything about anything. And Kevin goes, oh, my gosh, I think I just saw two guys kissing over there. I'm like, oh, that's just ridiculous. You know, two guys aren't going to be kissing. You know, we know who the Village People are today. Give me a break, right? But back in the day, I'm like, I don't know, I'm, what, 10, 11, something like that? But that was my first concert experience. If you'd like to chime in on what your first concert experience was, we'll encourage you to do that as well. I'll have that up for about another day. And then the other comment, or the other post that was on here, this just blows me away, because I thought it was just tongue-in-cheek, and everybody has an opinion on it. The comment is, beards make you hotter, this is science. And mustaches make you creepier, this is also science. So there's the picture with a guy with really like a dark 5 o'clock shadow, and there's the middle picture with a guy with like a porn stash, and then the guy's clean shaven on the farthest picture. And everybody is chiming in on that as well. So if you have a position you would like to take, that would be fantastic. I did have Connie out of Oregon say, do you have one for women? And I'm like, well, Connie, I think if women have facial hair, they're probably going to get electrolysis. And she goes, no, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, creepy versus not creepy. And this is Connie's response. Maybe not regarding facial hair, but maybe something else like haircuts, makeup, cosmetic, that type of thing. So if you have makeup makes you hotter, or, a poodle perm makes you hotter, this is science type of a picture, I would love for you to send that with – send it over to me. We'll post it and we will talk about it. That will be really fun. And then the last little thing, this has been on for a couple of days, and everybody who follows me on Facebook knows you got to catch it while the iron's hot, because if you don't catch it, I delete it, because I don't like to have more than 10 things posted on my wall at any one time, and if I have more than that, I feel like a little claustrophobic. But this is the Belfi. It's the Belfi stick. I don't know who came up with this name. Dumb name. I think they probably could have done something better. But the Belfi stick is a company has created a poll that allows users to take selfies of your butt. So if you need to post selfie butt shots, the Belfi will take your phone and let you take your butt picture, and then you can post that wherever finer pictures are posted of such things. I would not be posting that of mine, but I did get a kick out of it because it has both men and women taking pictures of their butt with a pole that allows users to take selfies. Yeah, I don't know, people. It's beyond me. Anyway, let's just recap for the week, and then we'll let you go for the night. Mary Lou Monroe Ray is live tomorrow night on a takeover show. It is 1 p.m. Brisbane, Australia time. That's 7 p.m. Pacific and 10 East Coast time here in the States. That's Tuesday. Wednesday, we have psychic Rebecca Fisk back with us. Thursday, we've got Nancy Mills talking about the spirited woman and empowering women all over the world. And again, Friday, we have Mark Cabe Jr. He is a Christian singer, and he's going to be coming on to play his album of music in the first hour and tell us a little bit about him. And then we will have listener requests in hour two. That's really cool. So with that, we got to end this with RuPaul tonight. Here's a little RuPaul cover girl. We'll see you live on Tuesday. Don't drive distracted, and thank you for being part of the show. If you like the show, follow it. You can like the Rated G Radio fan page on Facebook, and of course, if you want to friend me on Facebook, do that too. I'm at The Garrett Miller. Talk to you tomorrow night. Have a great evening, everybody.
Fantasy. Cover girl. listening to Rated G Radio.